This is Linda Rex with Our Life in the Trinity. Welcome to our June 11th, 2023 sermon, Not Dead But Asleep. We'll begin with prayer, read the scripture together, talk about our topic today, and have communion if you'd like to prepare now before we get started. And then we'll have a benediction to close. Will you join me in prayer now? Thank you. Lord, thank you that we can be together today. Thank you, Father, for loving us, giving us your Son and your Spirit to draw us into relationship with you. Just ask today that by your Spirit, you'll manifest Jesus. You'll speak through me what you want said and give us ears to hear. And I invite you, Spirit, to do whatever healing needs done, restoration, new life that needs to happen today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as those who are made in the image of God, we don't always live like we're made in the image of God. We tend to miss the mark or what the Bible calls sin. We tend to live in ways that are not loving, that are not other-centered, that do not reflect the glory and goodness of God. And that's just the way we are as human beings, sad to say. And that is why Jesus came. In the Old Testament, we read the story of ancient Israel, who was God made a covenant of love with them and drew them into relationship with himself. And yet, no matter how hard they tried, and sometimes they didn't even want to try, they were always unfaithful to their God. In the story in Hosea, the prophet Hosea was told by God to marry a prostitute. And inevitably she was unfaithful, and then he was told to bring her back and love her again. And all that Hosea did was to be a picture and a lesson for his people of how they were unfaithful, but God was faithful. God was loving. God was always trustworthy and reliable, and never did forsake them or let them down. One of the other readings for this Sunday is in Matthew 9, and it tells the story of how Jesus is met by this synagogue leader. We read in a different passage, his name is Jairus. And he comes and he says to Jesus, "My daughter is deathly ill. Please come and heal her." And so Jesus heads that way with them. The crowds gather around, they're pushing and shoving, and in the midst of all this, a lady comes with an issue of blood, touches his garment, and finds healing. And so Jesus stops to minister to her for a moment, calling her daughter, you know, giving her personhood again, assuring her that her faith was real and it healed her. But then as Jesus is going on, Jairus's servants come and tell him his daughter's dead. Just don't bother Jesus, she's dead. But Jesus says, don't worry about it. And he goes with Jairus to his home. And there are all these people, and they're playing pipes, and they're wailing and doing all the traditional mourning. And Jesus says, "Why are you mourning? She's not dead, but asleep." And they all just laughed because they're like, there is just no way. But Jesus sends them out, takes the daughter's parents and the disciples up to her room. And there he says to her, "Talitha kum, arise, my child." And she gets up alive, and he gives her to her parents and tells them to feed her and so on. This story, though, is meant to show us what God has done for us. All of us, every one of us, has been dead in sin. We're dead to the real life. Our life is in right relationship with Father, Son, in the Spirit. That's our life. We're meant to know God and be known by Him, to live in deep, intimate relationship with God, and to live in right relationship with one another. That's our identity, and yet we don't live that way. We're dead to that. But Jesus comes to us like He did to this little girl, and He comes to us in our human flesh, and this is God in human flesh, lives our life, dies death at our hands, and then is risen from the grave, raises all of us up into new life. Now, the Apostle Paul addresses this in a totally different way. In Romans 4, 13 to 25, I'm just going to read it and we'll talk about it. He says this, "For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and being guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words that was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." You know, Abram and Sarah had tried for years and years to have a child. They wanted children. I mean, it was a stigma that Sarah couldn't have children. And Abraham was over 90 when God comes to him and says, "You're going to have a son." And Sarah's laughing. She's like, "Yeah, sure." You know, she not only was barren, but here she's beyond childbearing years. And 10 years later, they still didn't have a son. Their dream of a son was dead and lifeless. They had no hope of having a son. And the reality is, Isaac came not because Abraham and Sarah got their act together, because they did something specifically right, except maybe get together at the appropriate time, but they didn't do anything that made this possible. Sarah tried giving Abraham her handmaid, and that created a whole slew of issues that God never intended them to have to deal with. But God worked with it. God understood. God worked with it. You know, God made his blessing upon Ishmael and his his family as well. But Abraham's hope in the end was not in his ability to do what was needed. His hope was in the God of hope, who had given him a promise. And he had learned as his life had gone along that God kept his word. He was a God of his word. He could be trusted. And so his participation in the process was trusting God. Was trusting God. Believing. And so the reality is we don't receive salvation, new life, because we do everything right. Because we get our ducks in a row. Because we know what laws to keep and what laws not to keep. Because we don't break any laws. That's not why we have a right relationship with God. Now, it does impact our experience of that relationship. That is true. But our relationship with God is not based on our ability to have one. It's based on God's love and grace. It's on his commitment to us. It's on his life in us and with us. We are powerless and unable to do what is needed. In every situation we come to in our life, if we find that it's supposed to be a certain way and it's not that way, if there's death where there should be life, we need to really admit the reality we're powerless. So often we're trying to fix stuff. Fixing this and fixing that, fixing people. When we're powerless and unable to do what is needed, we need to admit that. We need to just realize that, hello, we're not the God in this situation. We're powerless, and that's hard to admit sometimes. The reality is that God is the only one who can bring something into existence that was not there before. When there was nothing, God made everything. That should tell us something, that only God can bring the dead to life. And that's an important thing to know and believe in. And that is why, as the church today, we, and specifically in the Protestant church, we celebrate the sacraments of baptism and communion. These are important because they point us to death and resurrection, specifically the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and remind us that we participate in baptism, the one time thing that we do. We are, in that moment, confessing or agreeing with the reality of our participation in his Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. That in his death we have died, in his life we live, we've received his spirit, and we share in his glory now and forever by the spirit, yeah. And so communion, then, is our ongoing participation in Jesus' death and resurrection. And we're reminded constantly, over and over, of not only our need for redemption, our need for salvation, but we're also thanking Jesus for all he's done, thanking the Father, thanking Spirit for what he's doing in us. And so we participate anew with Christ in these things. And so if you think about the little girl laying dead in her bed, lifeless, that's where we were. Remember, it's a great time when we take communion to remember that's where we were. We are in that place. We so often end up in that place. Is there some place in your life where there's just only death? Is there something wrong Does in your church, is your church seem dead? I mean, is your family, your marriage seem dead? Where in your life is there only death? Well, remember who comes in, who has entered into our death, who has taken on our deadness and brought it to life. This is the person we need to trust in because he's trustworthy. He's proven his love for us and he can be trusted. And that's why we turn to Christ. That's why we take communion over and over and we participate anew in Christ's death and his resurrection, experiencing once again his new life. And we must always remember that Jesus takes us by the hand and lifts us up. He doesn't want to leave us in death. His purpose is to bring us to new life. Jesus has come as God in human flesh, and he's lived the life we need to live, living all of the way we should have lived and need to live and ought to live, we're designed to live. He did it. He lived that life. He died our death and has taken all of humanity by the hand and lifted us up into face-to-face relationship with the Father and the Spirit. That relationship we were created for and meant to be in. And so Jesus has done this and sent the Spirit, so every one of us can begin to participate in that relationship in all of those situations in our life where there seems to be no life, where there seems to only be death, and we turn to Jesus. We turn anew to Jesus, and we seek his face. We turn to the Father who is the Father of life, who gives us Christ in the Spirit. We trust in his love and grace. God's promise to us is sure. He's faithful. He keeps promises. He told Adam and Eve when they messed up in the garden, he told them they would have a redeemer. And he kept his word. He kept his word throughout all the ages and all the human endeavors and all the satanic efforts to block it. He kept his word. He lived our life, died our death, and rose again. Sent the Spirit. He's present now in you, in your life. He's active in this world. He's going to keep his word. Our participation is to trust him. Trust him to keep his word. And thankfully, Jesus had perfect faith in his Father. And so we can draw that from Christ as well. So we come to communion and reminded again that we died with Christ, we rose with Christ, we share in his glory now and forever. Will you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, for always keeping your word. Remind us of this and help us to trust you, to rely upon you, to depend upon you. Today, Lord, we bring our deadness, whatever it is that is breaking our hearts. We bring our dead marriages, our dead families, our dead churches, our dead jobs, whatever it is, God, that we feel like we need your salvation in. We just ask you to do what only you can do, just astonish us by your Spirit with your goodness, your faithfulness, and your love through Jesus our Lord. We receive this gift with gratitude in his name. Amen. Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. We thank you, Jesus, for offering your body for us. We take this in remembrance. And Jesus, we receive your poured out blood in our place on our behalf. Thank you for this reminder. Now may the God who brings the dead back to life, who creates new things out of nothing, may he bless and keep you. Smile on you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, God bless you. I hope you have a great week and that you are able to find life in all those broken places through Jesus our Lord. God bless.